April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Go Birds Podcast.
Hello, it is the Go Birds Podcast presented by Parks Sportsbook and Casino. Elliot Shore Parks, James Seltzer coming your way after a loss, a bummer of a loss, and a loss where they fought and just couldn't get it done, but some clear, definitive, turning point type plays. We'll dive into it all, but what's your takeaway coming out? The Eagles now at 1-3-1, but you know, definitely could have lost worse, I suppose.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see if people feel that the Go Birds theme song hits different after a moral victory compared to a regular victory.
Moral. I didn't think you'd be a moral victory kind of guy.
I'm not a moral victory kind of guy. And frankly, this team should not be in a place where there should be moral victories. But I have to be honest, I leave that game not feeling terrible about where this Eagles team is at. I mean, record-wise, obviously, a loss like this, it just highlights what a brutal loss this to one to Washington was, and then tying Cincinnati. Like, those are games you had to win, and it's going to haunt them all year. But I don't think you walk away from that game feeling bad about where the Eagles are, because as I've always said, this team goes with Carson and Doug, and I thought they were both good today. So we'll dive into the defense. Obviously, they're the reason they lost. Talk about Carson, talk about the number one receiver, Travis Fulgham. But yeah, I mean, look, I texted you with like 5 minutes to go in the game saying I think they're going to win this game. Like, I did not have the feeling.
And I said I don't, which is so funny because we kind of flipped roles from where we were early. Anyway.
I know. But I would just say, like, just watching the team, they did not give the impending sense of doom that you had the first, like, 3 weeks. And, you know, coming off the win over the Niners and this loss to the Steelers, I think – if before the Niners game, I told you they were going to beat the Niners and then score 29 points in a loss to the Steelers, you probably would have taken that. And again, let's get into specifics, but that's just my overall feeling of where things are at. I 1-3-1 is not great, and that really matters that that's a record, but they're 1-0 in moral victories in my book.
What a softie you've become, Elliot. It's shocking.
Just being real. Yeah. I mean,
no,
like,
I get it. Look, I get it. I get it. Here, yeah. I think I know exactly what you're saying. And look, they fought hard today. When it was 31-14, I was like, all right, this is absolutely over, like, done. And they fought back and they had a real chance. And, you know, we'll get into specifics again, but a couple plays go a different way and it's a different result. Against, I think where I kind of come out of it is, and I agree that it was a loss where you could still look at some silver linings and some good things. The record sucks, but you know, the takeaway for me though is just that, you know, it, when it all comes down to it, at the end of this thing right now, when you look at this team and the division is horrible and they fought and they can build on some things and potentially fight for this division, but ultimately the roster is just not good enough. I mean, that's the failure that I come back to. You look at a team like Pittsburgh across the line, and the reason they won today was they're just better. There's a more talented roster. Like, on a basic level, that's what the difference of the 9 points was. And the Eagles fought and fought and fought, but just made a couple too many mistakes against a better team, against a more talented team. And, you know, so, my big takeaway is the roster's not good enough. And there's some, again, some good things to talk about. But my takeaway, again, on the team is the roster's not good enough, but this division sucks. And they made me feel today like they're at least going to fight.
Yeah, the thing with the defense is, so early on in the game, they come out good, I thought. I thought the defensive line got good pressure early on. I mean, they forced a punt on the first drive. So when I'm talking early, I'm talking like very early, because they proceeded to give up points on the next five drives. So things did spiral out of control quickly. But I even thought on the second touchdown drive, the defense made them work for it. Like, I texted you and I said, you know, this defense is legit. Like, I just eye test watching the defense. I was like, they're making them work for it. As you just said, the Steelers do have some talented players on that offense. So I don't think stopping the Steelers is easy. Like, 38 points is too much to give up in any game. But I don't think the Steelers offense is one that you hold to under like 25 points routinely. I think they're a very good offense. So I thought the defense was actually playing pretty well. But what happened was a couple of things. A, I thought that pass interference call on Darius Slay that gave them ball around the five, I thought that was just a brutal call.
A horrendous call.
Yes. Very bad call. And I thought that's a call where I believe that was on third down, or at least it was, they were not really like in touchdown range. I think they were more in field goal range. Maybe if that doesn't happen, you hold them to less points there. But that was brutal. But I thought the pass rush really kind of fell off. I mean, on the first drive or two, it looked good. But for the most part, and I'll have to go back and look at the hurry statistics from this one, but for the most part, I thought that Ben Roethlisberger had plenty of time back there in the pocket. And when that happens, I mean, you know, the defense and the secondary, they have guys, but Darius Slay, I mean, the Steelers were not afraid of throwing at Darius Slay today. And Darius Slay has been really good this season, but I do think it's like somewhat telling that they came into this game saying, we feel confident in the Chase Claypool Darius Slay matchup. Like, that's a rookie versus a number one corner. And what they weren't all on Darius Slay, obviously Chase Claypool did his damage from all over, but Darius Slay didn't have a good game today.
No, and look, hurt at the end. I think that first pass interference call was total BS. And granted, the Eagles got one back at the end on the Chase Claypool offensive pass interference. That was a horrible call too. I thought on the whole, the refs had a really, really uneven, poor showing in this game. And yeah, it influenced both sides. I think the Eagles got the worst end of it, but it was a bad showing across the board.
Well, 17 penalties overall.
And also, how about the TV, the Fox broadcast, not giving us a replay of whatever the hell Malik Jackson got flagged for? Like, yeah, Malik Jackson was hot. He was pissed off, and we have no idea why he got a penalty, like a unsportsmanlike conduct.
Or the Brandon Graham.
Yes, that too.
On that final drive.
Big penalties that we didn't see the replay of. That's crazy. I don't remember seeing that very often. That'll happen every once in a while, but that is rare. That was BS. That whole drive felt like BS. And then for them to come back and, you know, have that deep shot to Hightower that he misses, you know, Carson gets hit on, it's just a little off. And then for Miles Sanders on 3rd and 9 to go 74 yards, and you're just like, whoa. Like, it just re-energized the entire team, and you felt it. And then they trade touchdowns, a really nice drive on that second touchdown. And then, you know, it kind of slips off heading into the second half, obviously the beginning of the second half, and then they fought back like we talked about. But the defense, like you said, I mean, the offense put up 29 points today. And yes, look, the one, I think we all know that Carson Wentz interception was just a horrific interception and a game-changing type of play.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that really quick.
Yeah, for sure. Because I think you can throw some blame on Zach Ertz too, and I want to talk about Zach Ertz. So what were your thoughts about that play? And obviously it was a massive play in the game.
So I actually think that's all on Zach Ertz.
Wow, I mean, I like this. Give it to me.
Wentz had two interceptions today, and overall,
the second one was like a punt. Yeah, like
so,
that.
Well,
you know,
so that's what I was – and one of my biggest pet peeves is interceptions that are called punts. Like, so I get what you're saying. I don't think either of those interceptions are like bad Wentz interceptions. They're the first one. So the first one on Ertz, he gets knocked. So at the very least, that probably should have been a penalty. I didn't really love like the effort from Zach after that. I thought that he kind of was like, there's going to be a flag. And the danger is when you play for a flag and it's not called, like you saw what happened. So I can't really put that one on Carson. And then the second one, I agree. The game's over. You're just throwing it down the field. You got to do what you got to do. But what surprised me after that interception was, so I think the interception came after a touchdown by the Steelers. And then you throw the interception. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, well, this game's just, it's over, right? I was like, this game's
I think
over.
Everyone was. That was, yeah. The entirety of Eagles Twitter was like, well, this was fun.
Yep. So for them to come out and then go on two drives for touchdowns, 175, 180, that was shocking to me. I would have bet a lot of money on Parks Casino that they were not going to go on two straight touchdown drives after that interception. So I think that's maybe one of the reasons I feel more positive about this than other people. I thought they
fought, man. They fought today. Yeah. Especially the offense fought today.
Well, let's get into Zach Ertz. So go ahead.
Okay, because I want to – we'll get to Fulgham in a second because that's one of the big reasons they were able to fight. But Zach Ertz, man, like, I agree with you. I thought the effort there was weak. I thought the effort on a couple plays was weak and just – not clearly not getting open enough, not involved in the offense enough. And just like you said, like across the board, it feels like he has a really bad body language going on, a real bad feel, a bad vibe out there on the field. It doesn't feel like he's involved, like he's, you know, engaged in what's happening. It's a real issue, man. Zach Ertz was invisible today.
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you my opinion on this and you tell me if you think I'm not putting enough blame on Ertz, because I'm open to the possibility that could be the case. But just let me know where you fall on this.
When
I watch Zach Ertz out there, especially today, I can't help but blame the Eagles. Like, they set themselves into this. They knew Zach Ertz wanted a new contract. Whether or not he deserved it, like, I personally think he did. But they went into this season with a contract dispute on their hands. I can't remember the last time that really happened with the Eagles. I mean, I guess Malcolm Jenkins last year. But outside of that, I mean, they paid Fletcher Cox early. They paid Carson Wentz early. So very rarely have you seen contract disputes kind of be a thing. And the difference with Malcolm is they were kind of on the same page about what was going on. Ertz and the Eagles are not. And you can see it's impacting Ertz. And whether it should or shouldn't, you can debate that. I mean, there's a human side to it where I'm like, how could it not impact you? But then I also understand the argument of, look, you got to get over it, right? You got to go earn the contract. But if they just paid
Ertz, he's got to go earn the contract for sure. I mean, that's
just what
it is. Yeah,
but if they just paid Ertz at the beginning of the year, like they should have, then he, I don't.
But let me flip it around on you. Let me flip it around on you though. What if, like, and look, the way he's playing right now is making it look smart. And what we saw from Dallas Goedert, I know, hurt in the first couple games, was like, oh, you know what? Right now, in these games, Dallas Goedert looks like a better football player than Zach Ertz. Like, if they don't want to sign Zach Ertz, to your point, like, the choice is you can rip them for not trading Ertz before the season. That's something you can rip them for. But if they didn't want to sign Zach Ertz to a long-term deal, if they don't think he's worth the money that he thinks he's worth, then I don't blame them at all for this situation, other than if you want to say they should have traded him. But you can't say that they should have paid him if they don't think they should have paid him. And again, the evidence so far this season is saying, hey, he doesn't deserve that type of money, like, period.
Yeah, and that's where I'm conflicted. Because on one hand, look, like, it doesn't lie. When you watch Zach Ertz this year, he does not look like the same player, flat out. He doesn't look as athletic. Maybe that's body language, maybe it's not, but he just doesn't look good this year. So on one hand, it's like they made the correct decision by not paying Zach Ertz. But I do think the contract aspect of this is impacting how poorly he's playing. I just do. You can't, you know, I'm not going to be able to convince otherwise on that. Now, had they paid Zach Ertz and they're they're 6 games into the season or whatever they are, and he's looking like this, then you say, wow, Howie, this is what happens when you pay an older veteran. So I can see both arguments for it. But whatever the reasoning is, the Zach Ertz thing is in a bad situation. And today it didn't hurt the offense. They got 29 points. But overall, like, I thought that interception was bad. I mean, that was on Ertz right there. Ertz got knocked off his spot. He's got to do a better job getting back to the ball there.
Well, and again, also to your point, like saying it didn't hurt the offense, like, yeah, they got 29 points, but what could they have done if Zach Ertz was playing well?
I mean, yeah, it's like, yeah, that's true.
They got 29 points because Travis Fulgham was a revelation and just had a otherworldly performance that wasn't expected. But, like, what if Zach Ertz was involved? What if Zach Ertz is giving yardage? Like, maybe they put up 39 points. You know what I mean? So it's like,
right.
it is frustrating, especially because the worst two games Ertz has had so far have been the two games since Goddard's been completely out. Like, what's that about, right? I mean, those are the spots where you expect him to be able to step up and really, and I'm sure that part of it, don't get me wrong, I get it, the defenses are keying on him and stuff, but you're the best player on the team, man. Yeah. You got to beat that. Like, that's not an excuse. Like, the Eagles were keying on George Kittle and the dude had 15 catches. Like, you know?
One catch on 6 targets for 6 yards. I mean,
that's a disaster. That's a disaster, yeah. Especially, again, when we're talking about John Hightower getting a ton of targets. Travis Fulgham, obviously, we'll talk about him in a sec, but, like, getting a big piece of the offense. Like, all these guys who have had 1/1000th the amount of time and work put in together with Carson Wentz, connection with Carson Wentz, are the ones who are getting all this. And like, you have to assume that, and we're not watching the coach's tape yet, but you have to assume that it's because Ertz is not getting open. Ertz is not giving him the opportunity to make plays.
Yeah, he's not getting separation. And here's really the stat that says it all. So the Eagles are now 1-3-1. Zach Ertz has played in every single game. Travis Fulgham has more receiving yards on the season than Zach Ertz does.
Wow, man.
Right?
Wow,
I mean, that's...
Wow, dude. Dude,
that's
in two
crazy,
games,
isn't it?
In two games.
Yeah. So it's not clicking.
No. All right. So, you know, we'll obviously continue to follow this as it, you know, kind of moves forward, and we'll see what Ertz has to say, I'm sure.
Do you want to hear something that'll make you happy?
You know I do.
Dak Prescott just threw a pick six.
I was gonna say to you, but at least it's 14-3 Giants. How hilarious would it be if coming out of this weekend the Eagles were still in first place? Because guess what? And I'm sure, look, the Cowboys are the Giants are horrible. I have no faith that the Giants will hold this 14-3 lead that they have in the first quarter. Zero. But just in the hilarious hypothetical world, if the Eagles come out of this weekend in first place, it would be one of the more ridiculous things that's happened in a really, really long time. Not just for the Eagles and for us, in the NFL. Like a 1-3-1 team in first place after the first 5 weeks of the year, like, I'll bet you that hasn't happened for a really long time.
Oh, no way. And not to mention the Eagles are probably going to be 1-4-1 next week. And could
You're
still,
damn right they are. The Ravens
still
just
be
keep
in
rolling.
First somehow. Yeah.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, let's get to the reason the Eagles were able to compete on offense there, at least one of the big reasons. Man, Travis Fulgham, let's talk about, look, it's impossible to know just how real it is, obviously, and the fact that, you know, he's bounced around and all that. But sometimes there are players who are just way better in a game situation and understand defenses and spots and zones. And it, like, he looked like that kind of guy today. Like, he was wide open on a couple of those catches. Yeah. And he also is someone who, you know, like I was talking to my wife, to Emily, about it while we were watching. And like, when Nelson Agholor catches the ball, and I know this is he had a big touchdown for the Raiders today. But when he catches the ball, like, it catches him, right? Like, he like kind of like looks the ball into his body with his hands and stuff. Like, Travis Fulgham goes up and snatches the ball with his hands. And I love the aggressive attitude he has as a wide receiver. And he made catches by getting open and running great routes today, and also made catches in tough traffic. And obviously that third down catch, you know, a great throw by Wentz, but like, what a catch by Fulgham in that spot that kept them in the game, essentially. What are your thoughts on what we've seen from Fulgham, and obviously how sustainable is it?
So I want Fulgham to play basically every snap.
Oh, buddy. Buddy. There is, in my opinion, he's wide receiver one right now. He's the guy I want to see out there the most.
Yeah, and look, the Eagles are going to have a decision to make, right? I mean, there's zero way you can, unless Fulgham gets hurt, you're going to have to pick like him, Alshon, Deshaun. I mean, right? You can't have all of them out there, really.
Oh my God! So, can you imagine the fan base if they try and put Alshon out there over him?
Oh,
or whatever?
They're going to. But
no,
all right,
no, I won't. I won't believe it. Nope, I don't believe it. I won't let it happen, Elliot.
Here's what impressed me about Fulgham. I thought the point you made about, you know, the way he catches the ball is true, but he can get separation. Like, that was what was clear today. I mean, you could see the way there was a play. I forget what down it was. I think it was third down, actually. He catches it about a yard or two short of the sticks, and a Steelers defender goes to tackle him and just kind of bounces off of him, and he's able to keep going and get the first down. I mean, he made legitimate plays today. This was not, you know, two catches, each go for 50 yards. Outside of that, it's not that great. Like, he
against
was
against a good defense.
Against a very good defense. Against a good secondary. I mean, they couldn't stop him. Like,
they really couldn't. It was unbelievable. At a certain point, it was like, again?
Yeah.
Like, the touchdown, even the Jonathan Vilma, who had one of the worst games I remember from an announcer. He was a disaster. Some rough ones. Basically, like, he's never seen the Eagles play before, knew nothing about this team. Tight moments and obviously a few, like, misnamings and all that. But he commented in that moment. He's like, how is Fulgham this wide open right now? Like, he's the only guy on the team making plays. And he's like, wide open. It was crazy.
Well, two things off of Fulgham. First, how is this guy on the practice squad the first few weeks of the season?
I know. It's a great point, Elliot. It's what we were saying about Greg Ward last year, right? Like, the exact same thing we were saying. When they go on that run and Greg Ward's making all these plays and such an important part of the offense, we're like, where was this guy the first 6-8 weeks of the season? Like, certainly could have used this guy. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. It's a great point, Elliot. A great point.
And, I mean, he had the game-winning touchdown last week, too. So it isn't really like a one-week thing. I mean, he had a great game today and obviously the game-winning touchdown last week. So I think it can be sustained. I mean, look, Greg Ward last year kind of did this, right, where he came in and played well. He didn't do it to this level that Fulgham has. I mean, Fulgham's game today was – I mean, outside of, like, Alshon's Super Bowl, like, I can't think of another dominating performance by a receiver in recent years, right? I mean, Alshon had the great catch.
Like, there have been some. Like,
I guess Deshaun week one.
I was just about to say Deshaun week one last year. Deshaun had some games back in the day like that. Like, there have been others, but it is certainly, like, you know what, 10 for 148 or something, like 11. Like, it was a true blue wide receiver one type of game, the likes of which we do not see very often here in Philadelphia over the last good many of years, you know?
Right. So this is, you ready for the overreaction to Travis Fulgham? Please. At one point I looked and I'm like, this dude reminds me of Michael Thomas. Like, they're just like throwing him the ball. They both wear number 13. I think they're like similarly built. I'd have to look and see, but it reminded me of the time when Michael Thomas was just killing the Eagles in New Orleans. And every time I looked, I'm like, wow.
How is he this open? How is this guy keep getting this open? I'm with you. It's a good point. I like that.
It reminded me of that. So I think that the Travis Fulgham thing's here to stay. Look, he's not going to have 10 catches for 152 yards. And next week against Baltimore, that's the real test, right?
Marlon Humphrey action. I'm sure you'll see a lot of him now.
Yeah, not just that. Now there's two games of tape out there on him. There's definitely one big game of tape. So, potentially we're talking about the Ravens game planning for Travis Fulgham next week. So that's where this season's gone. But I obviously you walk away very impressed with him. JJ with the catch today. What'd you think of that?
Well, here's the funniest thing. Like it could not have been a more perfect JJ catch in that first and foremost, he catches it. The clock runs out, so it's literally inconsequential. A meaningless stats-only catch that means nothing. And the funniest part is if he had just done what he usually does and dropped it, it would have been better because at least you could have taken a Hail Mary chance with like 6 seconds left. So it's unbelievable. Like, it was a nice catch. Like, credit to him. It was a nice catch. Like, I get it. You're a receiver. You're not going to not catch it. But it would have actually been better if he dropped it. It's hilarious. It's like, it's poetic, Elliot.
Well, the other thing too is, so he makes the catch and it wasn't an extended celebration. Don't get me wrong, but you get up and you point for the first down. Like, aren't you aware of what the situation is right here?
What are you doing?
You know, it wasn't like it killed a lot of time, but he did.
No, they had no chance anyway. Like, as soon as he caught it, they had a 0% chance to line up in time. Agreed. But still, it's like, bro, like, you should catch that and run right to the, like, whatever. Like, it was so bad. The whole thing was so bad. And it was a bummer. It's just hilarious. So it really is poetic. But look, again, I think, you know, to put a bow on Fulgham, I agree. I think he's more real than not. I'm not saying he's a wide receiver one in the NFL moving forward, but I think he's someone who can be a contributor for you and certainly deserves to start over Alshon or Deshaun or anybody else. See what you got in this guy. Like, he is showing you something. See what you got. Speaking of offensive weapons, like, what do I need to do to get more Miles Sanders? Like, what do I need for more scheme plays in the passing game? You and I talked about this on the radio show, WIP 1-3 on Saturdays. This exact thing where you were like, they need to get Miles Sanders going in the passing game. And they had like one play. And it was, he made a perfect catch. Like, obviously the little seam route over the middle, made the catch and did that sweet little move and ended up getting a first down. And like, where was that, Elliot? Where was that dynamic of the game, because obviously had the 74-yard run and then really unable to get anything going on the ground. Only 11 carries. They didn't go to it that much. But nothing like that in the pass game like we talked about. He's literally your best weapon on offense. Like, you got to get it in his hands more. That would be my I don't have big complaints about Doug today. And we'll get to the field goal decision, because I'm sure that's going to be something a lot of people talk about. But my one complaint is, like, do what you got to do to find a way to get the ball into Miles Sanders' hands more.
So I'm a little torn on that. I agree with you on the idea of it. I thought Miles Sanders today at times looked like a player that was ready to dominate. He's going back home to Pittsburgh, the 74-yard run. Like, I thought he was in the zone. There was even a few plays that didn't go for positive yardage where you look and he's making guys miss. He's missing two, three guys just to get back to the line of scrimmage. So I thought he played very well. He had today 11 carries, and they targeted him. Let me pull this up. Targeted him four times. So 15, kind of like Miles Sanders.
Just not enough, man. He's got to be in the 20-25 range. He has to be.
Well, but they ran 57 plays. So he was either
they did not get a lot of plays, but even still.
So 26% of the plays were involving Miles Sanders. But I'm not saying that's enough. I'm just saying I think that because of the low play count, it's a little bit misleading. But the other thing I would say is, they really didn't have success running the ball. You take away the 74-yard run, and I'm not a huge fan of the, like, people used to do this with LeSean McCoy, where he would end up with, you know, 120 yards, but like 60 of them came on one run, and they'd be like, well, he blah, 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 right? So I get the don't take away the biggest yard thing, but when you look at it, he had 6 yards on his other 10 carries. So they really struggled to run block today. I mean, Boston Scott had one carry for 3 yards. Carson Wentz aren't really rushing attempts. So, like, they could not get much going on the ground. Where I do think they could have done more, though, is in the passing.
The passing game. Yep, yes. That's my biggest complaint.
That's my biggest complaint.
I got it. Look, Pittsburgh is a great run defense. I think that 74-yard run on a 3rd and 9 just caught everyone off guard, and Sanders just took it to the house, and it was a great play. And he got a hole, he took off, and he caught everyone flat-footed and was able to make it happen. But I agree, it was hard, you know, hard slopes to try and, you know, run the ball against them. So I'm okay with that. I just feel like scheme the passing stuff more. That one pass worked. The other targets, like, were so inconsequential. It wasn't like scheming up Sanders getting open in the passing game and making things happen. But again, I'm not.
They scored 29 points too.
I'm not ripping Doug. I just thought, like, on the whole, if I had a complaint about the offense today, which again I don't have a ton, that's it. Before we get to the Elliott field goal choice, because we're talking about Doug, just in general, you mentioned it quickly before, but a little bit more on what you thought of Wentz. It seems like you thought Wentz had a really nice day today.
I thought he did. Yeah. I mean, I think when a quarterback has accuracy problems, each one he misses, like, gets magnified a little, right? So he'll miss one or two throws, and it's like, oh, here we go again. But overall, 20 of 35, 258 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, but I really don't think either of those are his fault. There's still turnovers, but I don't really think either of those are his fault. So I thought he actually had a pretty nice day. And, you know, I thought kind of lost in the Fulgham hype was that Wentz was the one getting him the ball, right? I mean,
totally.
Fulgham dominated.
Some really nice throws to Fulgham, too. Like, obviously, that 3rd down one was a beautiful throw.
Yep.
In a big spot.
Coming into the game, I think the Eagles were averaging something like 190 yards passing, if that. I mean, they were really struggling to throw the ball. 258 yards today is definitely a step in the right direction. I thought, first of all, the fact he had no fumbles in the pocket was good. There was one or two plays where he was either brought down or under pressure, and I noticed he had two hands on the ball. So that was good. I saw some improvements in him in that way. And I thought he did a nice job passing the ball today. I thought his accuracy overall was pretty good. The John Hightower throw definitely should have been caught by Hightower. Looked like he misread it.
He totally did.
Receivers keep misreading Wentz's deep ball?
Yeah, I don't know if it's weird or if it's just, like, the first one obviously got hit on. That one, like, I'm thinking that John Hightower does not seem like he's gotten the tracking of it down yet. Like, he just doesn't seem like he is a great ball tracker. Like, the only catches he've had have been on direct short throws or whatever. Like, he just, and I know, look, they've not been perfect, but he had more than enough time there to adjust to the point where, like, at least should have hit his hands. I'm not saying he has to catch it, but, like, he missed it by, like, a foot. Like, that was crazy. That was like he had no perception of where the ball was going to fall down. Like, maybe it's that he's so focused on running his route right and this and that that he's not getting to that extra point quick enough or whatever. Like, maybe there are reasons for it, but I definitely have not been impressed by it. I agree. Look, it wasn't a perfect throw, but you're heaving it to the back of the end zone there. It was close enough where Hightower should have at least been able to make a play on the ball.
Yeah, I agree. I just think it's weird that overall it seems like receivers have trouble tracking Wentz's deep ball. Like, everyone said Nelson couldn't track a deep ball last year, and then he had a 59-yard touchdown catch today. Like,
well, it was thrown to him and he ran, but still.
Well, okay, like 40 yards of it. I mean, he did not run 69 yards. But regardless, my point is, it just is weird to me that it seems like people have, even last week, Travis Fulgham said he lost the ball and then it was just such a good throw, it went right to him. Like, it's just weird to me that people have trouble tracking his deep ball. Cause I don't actually think he throws a bad deep ball overall. I mean, but that probably should have been a catch. So yeah, I can't kill Wentz for that. I think Wentz had his best season of the game. I mean, best game of the season. And that's probably why I don't feel that this is like as much of a doom and gloom loss as others. Like, if the Eagles are going to, when the Eagles win and Carson plays well, one of the things people get mad on me about is I'll come and be like, well, Carson wasn't that great, so it's hard to feel great about the win. The flip side of that is if he plays great in a loss, that also impacts how I view things. And this season is going to go as far as the offense takes them. The defense, we've seen Jim Schwartz's defense. This is how they do. They'll give up like over 30 points once every three games. And then there'll be those two games or they'll go on stretches where they dominate. So I actually think the defense could come out next week and play a pretty good game. But what was with Carson, he showed notable signs of improvement. Like, think of where we were going into that 49ers game. We were talking about whether or not they should bench Carson on national TV. And I think over the last 2 weeks, he's taken big steps in the right direction. And frankly, that's more important than what the scoreboard says. Like, I care more about what Carson does than what these scores are at this point, just simply because Carson was at such a low point that for him to take any step in the right direction is a big deal. And I thought today was a step in the right direction for him.
I agree with you. I agree with you. Again, like, he had some big time answer drives today. And again, still, like, let's not forget that, yes, even though Travis Fulgham all of a sudden is a revelation and all that, like, he's still doing it with a beyond subpar group of weapons out there with him from a wide receiver perspective and an offensive line that held up at times today, probably better than expected considering how good the Steelers' D-line is, but was not absolved today of protecting Carson. There was a lot of pressure in this game, and he's out there with a really young, inexperienced offense around him for the most part. Like, other than Jason Kelce, other than Zach Ertz, who again was invisible for him, like, Lane gets carted off again. Like you think about the experience level, NFL game experience level of the offense when you take Ertz and Kelce out of the equation, it's crazy. I mean, we're talking again about Mailata, Herbig, Driscoll, Pryor on the line, like barely any, as we know, one game, two game for those guys. You know, Sanders, 1 year of experience, and then the wide receivers, Fulgham, two games, JJ, you know, games here and there, Hightower, how many games this season? Quez, his first game. Like, it really is astounding the lack of NFL experience that is out there on offense. And that's why I started at the top talking so much about the roster and Howie and where I come back to. And I know injuries are a part of it, but they are just really deficient in that area. And I agree with you. I think what Carson's been able to get out of that group and do under the circumstances, especially after how bad he was those first three games, like, or two and a half games, whatever. I'm with you. I think it's I think it's important to see, more important than anything. All right, quickly, I teased it a bunch. Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, do you have any thoughts on the defense? I mean, they're the reason we.
Yeah, I was gonna get to the defense. So you want? Let's do the defense quick, and then we'll get to the field goal choice. I don't have too many thoughts other than I just think they disappointed today, and the D line started out hot, but slowed down when you needed it. Obviously, the, you know, and it was, everyone called it out, everyone knows it, but the having Nate Gary on Chase Claypool at the end there on that last touchdown was a all-time disastrous play call from a defensive coordinator, from a defense. Yeah. Like, just a massive mistake. The guy has three touchdowns and a wide receiver on Gary. I mean, it was just awful. It was a horrible play, a horrible decision. And there were just too many times where, like, the first drive of the second half, like, you need to stop there. Like, you know, after the Miles Sanders run, give up a touchdown right away there. And then the Eagles got him back and got another. But there were just too many spots where a good, and I know the Steelers are a good offense, but a good defense holds in more spots. And I know they got the turnover, and I know that, you know, they made a couple plays happen. But on the whole, I was disappointed with the effort in a game where, again, it didn't play out this way, but I thought it was going to be a real defensive struggle. I expected more from the Eagles D today. I did.
It's interesting with the Eagles defense how it feels like the plays that go bad are almost always breakdowns. Like, it doesn't feel like today they lost like one-on-one tough battle, tough catches type of thing. Like, Claypool was wide open on that play. And I just can't get worked up about Nate Gary. Like, other people do, and I get why.
Oh, God, but I hate him. I hate him. But like, I hate him. I want him off my team. He stinks.
Yeah, he's a linebacker that used to be a safety that's making like
Yeah, but again, okay, so fine. You know what? Then let's blame Howie again. All right?
Yeah, but that's fine. My point. Blame Howie then. Like,
okay,
I don't
think good. Yeah. I do. I'm with you. This is a disaster. Like, yes, of course. I'm very with you. You're right. Like, I think what you're trying to say is it's not Nate Gary's fault that the Eagles are asking more of him than he has to offer. That is totally fair. You are correct. But it does suck that he's out there because he is just an absolute mismatch.
Yeah, and I mean, look, Nate Gary is still a professional player, so I don't want to sit here and say, like, it's not like they put me out there, and it's like, well, what can he do? You know, like, so I do get that he has to be better, but, you know, like, the Chase Claypool play that you mentioned at the end of the game, like, A, I don't even know if Gary's supposed to be covering him there, but if he is, then that's on Schwartz.
That's on Schwartz, I agree.
You can't put Nate Gary on Claypool. Like, and I get that as a former safety, one of the advantages of him – one of Nate Gary's advantages is supposed to be that he's good in coverage. Like, that's why you take a safety and move him into a linebacker, because you get those type of components. But he just can't do it. So, like, you can't have him on there, on Claypool there. You just can't. And that's why when I look at the defense overall, I do blame Schwartz more than I blame kind of, like, individual out, like, players. I guess the defensive line could have been better, but you just see certain plays and breakdowns. And anytime a team goes, I think they were 11 for 15 on third down, like, that's
brutal.
A scheme thing. That's a scheme.
Yeah, and look, there were some big penalties, the Fletcher Cox offsides, like, a few of those type of things.
Yep.
I absolutely blame Schwartz the most for today, and you and I both have been big Jim Schwartz defenders, proponents. Call it like you see it. He had a bad day today. There's just no two ways about it. I thought Jalen Mills had a rough day today. You know, kind of flashed a little bit on a bad side. Obviously, the linebackers. Though Sean Bradley flashed a little bit on the good side. It was nice to see Sean Bradley out there making some plays. I would like to see more of Sean Bradley. I know he's more of a run stopper than a pass guy right now, but I really liked what I did see from him and those goal line plays and whatnot. I thought Rodney McLeod played great. I think another game where he's just flying around, but just on the whole, like you said, there are just too many breakdowns, too many big plays, and too many third down conversions. That was really the story of the game for the defense is all those third down conversions. And it felt like if it was third and four, third and five, it was like an automatic lock. Short pass from Ben to one of those guys right over the middle, a little slant pattern. It was going to work every time. Every time it worked. It was unbelievable.
And the weird thing was the Eagles actually averaged more yards per play than the Steelers did.
That is pretty crazy.
Right? I mean, you wouldn't have guessed that because it feels like the defense got ran over all game. But
you would not, Elliot. That's a really good point. That's really an interesting point.
Like, normally when you look at the box score, you can tell right away why a team won. Like, last week, the Niners and the Eagles were pretty even, but the Eagles got three turnovers and they only turned it over once. You look today, Pittsburgh had five more first downs. I mean, they were 11 for 15 on third down, but the Eagles were 10 of 14, so they weren't exactly terrible on third down. Eagles ran 10 less plays. They averaged more yards per play. They had one more penalty. You know, the Steelers had it about 9 more minutes, but I can't really point to like why they lost this game. It feels like maybe just one or two plays didn't go their way at inopportune moments. And that's kind of it, but I can't.
And again, I think, like we said,
played.
No, I think again, like we said, like this is a game that comes down to facing a better roster. And that in the end, like, those extra points are going to end up on the better roster side. Like, I think that's really how it played out today. Like, they're better. The Steelers are better.
Yeah, they are. And so let me ask you, coming off of these two games, where are you at with this team? Because they beat the Niners. They almost beat the Steelers. You thought they'd win the game. And I think a lot of what you said.
Well, let's get to that
correct,
one sec. Quickly.
Sorry,
yeah,
goal.
I just
sorry,
quickly want to talk about the field goal because I do think that's going to be something a lot of people were talking about. Were you okay with the decision to kick the field goal there? You know, 57-yarder would have been okay. Cool. Explain.
Yeah. You were down two, right? If I'm not mistaken, wasn't it two?
Down two.
And, I mean, it had enough. they probably didn't show a replay of it, but watching it live, it looked like it went wide more than it was short, right?
Agree.
It was like barely short. So yeah, he just missed. I mean, you know, Jake Elliott's made really clutch kicks in the past. I do believe Jake Elliott has a strong leg, as evident by the fact he almost made that. Doug said after the game that it was well within his range. So you feel confident. I mean, presumably Fipp felt good about it. So he missed, you know, it is what it is. He missed, but I thought it was the right call. The offense was clicking, so I wouldn't have hated going for it, but I thought kicking it there was the right call. What do you think?
So in the moment, I wanted them to go for it. I thought they were going to go for it. I was really surprised he kicked it. I didn't hate it. Like, as they're lining up, I'm like, you know what? Like, I would go for it here, but I also understand this. Like, this is okay. He's a good kicker. It's a somewhat makeable kick. So I wanted him to go for it, but I'm not going to kill him for kicking the field goal. I get the logic. I don't think it's a horrible decision. Again, Elliott had the leg for it. I think if I had known that the record at Heinz Field was 53, maybe that would have just even mentally swayed me away that, you know, and it is a weird place with the wind and all that, but they must have, you know, obviously had a good feel for that, those factors in making the decision. But ultimately, I'm not going to kill him for it, but I would have gone for it there. Like you said, the offense was moving and, you know, I thought they had a real chance to get it. And also, you know, you're kind of pushing them back if you don't get it. Whereas starting at the 45, obviously, it was a, you know, all game felt like the Steelers were starting on the 45 or whatever. But all right.
So
well,
I agree with you that as soon as I heard that it was the longest field goal attempt and early, you know, would have been the longest.
Right?
That did sway me a little.
Me
and
too.
The offense was moving. The defense was struggling. So had he gone for it, I wouldn't have hated it. But I can only say about what I felt in the moment. And if he makes that, obviously no one's questioning it. So
yeah, I think we both agree you don't punt there. Like, so that, I don't
think
definitely
that was
don't
question. Punt. Yeah.
All right. To your question, and I want to hear your answer too, but in terms of where I feel with this team, I feel like again, and as we talk, it is 17-3 Giants right now. And the Cowboys scored. So now 17-9 or about to be 17-10, of course. So I'm sure they'll, I'm not counting on the Giants winning. But it's just more to highlight that I don't think Dallas is that good. I know they're really talented, but yeah, I've just seen nothing to impress me from them. So I feel like this team's in it in the division just because of the division they're in. But I don't feel very good about them as a team. I think they're a team that has a bad roster that's been made worse, like significantly worse by injuries. And they have a good head coach and a good quarterback who are going to, you know, kind of find their way to win some games here, especially on times where the defense shows up because there are at least some pieces on that side of the ball. But I just think ultimately this roster is not good enough, and at some point it's going to catch up with them, and it could be sooner rather than later. If they need Doug and Carson to really be good, and again, they weren't the first 3 weeks, and I think that's part of the reason why they're in the situation they're in.
Yeah, I think that's correct. The thing that I just keep coming back to, every time I talk myself into saying, like, you know what? The offense played well today. Carson's improving. Those are positives. The Cowboys aren't good. I just go back to the fact that they lost to Washington and tied Cincinnati. And then you look at the rest of their schedule and it's very tough. So I think the Eagles are probably like a 6 or 7 win team. And that might be being generous considering how many games they have left. But they might be the best team in the division still.
I know.
And they might.
I know.
Like, again, I said it before the season. I said it last week. I'll probably say it on every postgame pod. If this season ends with Carson Wentz in a playoff game, it's a success. And
I agree with you, Elliot.
that's where it's at. So I don't think they're a very good team. I led my post game takes with saying, you know, this is such a classic bad team loss, right? Like the defense has played well the last 2 weeks. The offense has its best game of the season and the defense has its worst game. Like that's what bad teams do. You know, like next week they'll play the Ravens. The defense will play well. Travis Fulgham will catch one catch for 7 yards and they'll lose like 23-17, you know, like, so they are a bad team for sure. They are not a good football team, but I think that as long as Carson's playing well, there's still reason for optimism. So that's
It's like a historically bad division, legitimately, at the end of all this. Like, I think I feel very confident right now that the winner of the NFC East will not have a winning record. That's what I think is going to happen.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy to say, like, 5 weeks in the season, like, we've never said that. Like, this is the worst that I remember. So, you know, as sad as it is, that does provide real hope. You know, they can – again, as we're seeing, like, they can beat the Cowboys. They can. If they win both games against the Cowboys, like, whatever else happens, you're in great shape. You know, so they're
they beat the Cowboys twice. They'll win.
They're probably going to make them. Yeah, exactly. So so it's just a weird thing. And I agree with you. I think because we heard it on our radio show this week, and you kind of hear that sentiment of people being like, oh, we'll just, you know, I'd rather not make the playoffs, get a better draft pick, and, you know, get some people fired, this and that. Like, I absolutely disagree with that. I think that even if you could be the worst division winner in the history of the NFL, you're in the dance, and that's what matters, and you get a shot, and Carson can go try and win a playoff game and get those reps. I think that's totally agree with you, the most important thing. Elliot, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
I think that I started the pod with this. I guess I'll end it. Like, when Doug talked about the new normal at the Super Bowl parade, you didn't think it would include moral victories. This team has fallen. This team, as a touchdown underdog in two straight games, will probably be a touchdown underdog next week. Like, they have serious issues, for sure. Still feel like today's a moral victory. I can't shake that. I think Carson played well. I think Fulgham could be something. Doug looked good. Yeah, I thought his play calling was good. So I think today's a moral victory, but at 1-3-1, it's, you know, I coming into the year was not as high on the Eagles as other people. I thought they'd go 8-8. I never thought after their first five games they'd have one win. I didn't think it would get to this. So still pretty amazing that even with the moral victory, they're 1-3-1. Like, that's a level the Eagles have not been at in a long time.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's not Grady. It's not great.
No.
But again, as it's like, out of every time you say something, you got to be like, but at least they're in it.
Yeah.
So at least they're in it. And, you know, look, we could be the Falcons 0-5 with Dan Quinn getting fired. Right. I mean,
right. You know.
All right. We'll be back, this week. Of course, Parks Picks show will be coming up later in the week, and, we'll look ahead to the Ravens game. Who knows? Maybe we get a miracle at home on Sunday. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I can talk myself into it this week.
By next Saturday at GoBirds Radio, You'll be saying, talk yourself into it.
We'll see. All right. Until then, rate and review the podcast. We'll read some reviews on the next pod. And, of course, 2,000 five-star reviews. We will take the SATs, post our scores, and get made.
Yes.
So until next time, he's Elliot. I'm James. We'll talk to you guys later.